On the way, I've had a lot of help. And she said, don't talk about that. So I ain't going to talk about that. And you all will be happy to know, and I won't talk about it, that you're already saved. So I don't need to tell you about that again. So if any of you feel depraved and shortchanged and anything, you just talk to her about it after the service. So, see, I told you I wouldn't be specific. Okay. Jesus tells us of a rest at salvation and of a growing rest if we let him teach us. I'm going to talk about the rest at salvation, and you've heard that before. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know how many times I went to the Lord and asked him to save me when I was growing up. And after it was over and I got back home and I was feeling so good about it, I felt like I'd been cleaned all over with a hose or something, you know. I felt great. But when I got back home, it wasn't long till I had another bad thought. And I thought, wait a minute, something's wrong here. And so I began to really I wanted to be saved so bad I could taste it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That went on for a while. And then all of a sudden, one night at a revival, gospel was preached, and all of a sudden, I knew I was saved. I mean, I knew. You say, how'd you know? Don't ask me. I just knew. And so it took me a long time to figure out that what had happened was, well, I'd been called to preach, but there was a great desire in me to get out and tell everybody what had happened to me. And I remember that quite well. And I went home that night, and right away, the thing hit me. I had another bad thought, and I thought, oh, my goodness. And then I realized he was trying to get me to do what I had just done all that time, and he was convicting me. And I needed to repent, and I needed to trust him, and I had, and I was saved. And so we've been through all this before, but the rest he gave me was different from what I'd ever had before. It was a rest that I knew, and whenever I was pushed, you know, to say, well, you might lose it, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It was that night that there was no question in my mind that I had been saved and that God meant for me to do something, and I didn't quite know what it was, but I wanted to get up there and tell people about the Lord, what I'd learned, and you wouldn't believe how much that Sunday school teacher had taught me back there. Because I already knew that once God saved you, he saved you, and you knew it, and he testified to you. I already knew that. So the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There is an instantaneous relief of rest when we receive, when we finally come to him to save us. I just had a hard time understanding that once God saves you, he saves you, period. You say, well, what was happening to you? Well, I wasn't quite sure, but I knew I was supposed to preach. I knew I was supposed to tell people, and I knew I was saved, and there wasn't any question in my mind. I had an instantaneous relief of rest, and I realized I've been saved. I knew I was saved. I was positive I was saved. There was no question in my mind about it. Well, all through my ministry, I had a hard time with this, because even when people were shooting at me, even when I had to shoot people and all the different things that went on in my ministry, I didn't like shooting people. I didn't like killing people. And I didn't like people trying to kill me. I went through that in Vietnam. And I went through that in North Africa, and I was behind a wire fence part of the time. But I knew that I was saved, and there was no question in my mind about it. And so you say, well, why did you go into service? I had no choice. I couldn't say, I won't go. I am a coward. But very few people understand that you're a natural coward when you come into the world. And I understood that. I had been saved. And so all of a sudden, there I was with all those problems. And I came back, and there was no question in my mind that I was saved. And it was just a complete, absolute relief, and it never went away. And every time I was tempted, I knew, and I just said, okay, I'm eternally saved. And the rest we receive as he teaches us. I didn't really start understanding about this rest as he teaches us until I realized this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I put from in there because it's a present preposition. It can mean either one. To understand how it can mean either one, you have to understand that at the time this was written, if someone was a learner of a person, it meant they were a follower of what they taught. And if they learned of him, they were a follower of what he taught. And if they learned from him, they were a follower of what he taught. It's the same thing. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. I found rest unto my soul about salvation the night I got saved. I knew, because I had asked him many times. And, once I got old enough to be convicted, I was convicted. And the night that I finally realized, he saved me. And I knew it. I was certain of it. Well, it was the time that he saved me, period. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. I found rest. And I found rest whenever I realized that all that time I had been going, I had kept asking and kept asking and kept asking and kept asking. And I knew I was saved. I knew I was saved. I knew I was saved. I knew God had some purpose in my life. And I thought it was to preach the gospel, but I don't know. He just didn't want me to start. And I was certain of that. The first thing he teaches us is the security of the believer in him. John 5:24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath. Hath is a present indicative active. Now, for some reason, when God saved me, God said, try me. He didn't hear a whisper in my ear. But when he saved me, he had told me all this time, he said, try me. And I just kept going back. Every time I'd sin, I'd go back and I'd try to be saved again. And I was saved, and I knew I was saved. It was one of the most confusing times in my life. Truly, truly, verily, verily, he put special emphasis on this. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present indicative active. Means he had it right then. And when I heard his word, I believed it. And you say, well, you didn't know very much. I didn't have to know very much, because he testified in my heart that I was saved, and I knew I was saved. And God doesn't do that to you unless you finally understand something for sure. He said, but it's passed from death unto life. I got passed from death unto life in my Sunday school class. I was passed from death unto life in my Sunday school class. And all of a sudden, I knew what was happening, and I knew why it was happening. The apostles of Jesus followed him for more than 3 years. This is what I had all the trouble with. And I believe this is why God sent Chuck's father down here. And when he came in here and I listened to him, and after I listened to him, I said, he believes what I believe. And I said, he has to believe that or something like it. And the apostles of John followed him for more than 3 years as the first church, still being converted. There's no way around this. You have to accept it. The apostles of Jesus followed him for more than 3 years as the first church, still being converted. And, you know, I believe that when he called him up at the Sea of Galilee. I think that's where he called him. And that's where he called him out. And they followed him for more than 3 years as the first church, still being converted. Now listen to me. When he says being converted, he's not saying they needed to be saved. He is not saying they needed to be saved. They did not need to be saved. Well, what did they need to do? Luke 5:11. And when they had brought their ships to land, you notice we're still in the New Testament, they forsook all and followed him. That's what happened to me. All of a sudden I knew. And I knew what I was called to do. And I was going to do it. And he wouldn't let me. You say, well, that's crazy. It may be crazy to you, but it sure wasn't crazy to me. Because I knew what I was supposed to do. And I understood it. I knew I was saved. And they kept trying to take me down a Roman road. And when that preacher tried to take me down a Roman road, I knew that was wrong. I knew it was wrong. And I thought, something is bad wrong here, and I don't know what it is. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And I didn't pray for God to save me again, because I was saved. And finally one day, in walked your dad. And I guess to God figured now is the time to let him understand what he's supposed to do. Acts 1:21-22. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us until the time that the Lord went in and out among us. The Lord went out and in and out among them, and they were preaching the truth. And I listened to the truth, and I accepted the truth, and I believed the truth, and I knew I was saved. But there was something in my life that I knew I had to do. Beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, written in Acts, one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And he said unto them, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And he ate the Passover with them. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup. Who took the cup? Jesus. And gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He said it and he meant it. And I knew it was true. That's when I knew I was absolutely called to truth, and I didn't have to hide it anymore. I talked to your dad about it, and after I talked to him about it, not like I'm preaching it here right now, I could see that he had something that God meant for me to do. And I knew what it was, but I knew that it had been something God did not want me to do until he was ready. He said, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also after the cup, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And I came to understand that it was a blood sacrifice. That is exactly why when I was saved, I knew I was saved. I didn't have to wait for something special to happen, for the Lord to call me to preach. He was calling me to preach. You say, well, why were you so confused? I was confused. It was my own fault, but I can't explain to you why I was confused. But all of a sudden, I understood. And I knew what I was supposed to do, but there was something that was wrong that I needed to understand. And when Chuck's dad showed up, Chuck's dad wasn't like Chuck. Chuck's dad was quiet. He just pretty well, he had to listen very carefully to what he said. That's why I asked him to preach a lot. It was because I trusted that I knew what he knew. But I had a lot of work to do, and I needed to understand completely why it was that I knew I was called to preach. He says, but behold, the hand of the man that betrayeth me is on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Now remember, he had already gotten rid of Judas Iscariot. He got rid of him. And he had already gotten him out of there, and Judas Iscariot had left. And Jesus said, He talked about it, but Judas was gone, G-O-N-E, gone. And Jesus said, he said to the disciples, he said, well, I think I'm going to wait until not this coming Sunday, but the Sunday after, because I'm going to cover what I have to say in great detail. And I don't want to leave any doubt that what I'm telling you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I'm going to wait until my turn to preach, and then I'm going to preach it. But I am absolutely convinced of one thing, and it was something that God taught me. First, he taught me I was saved without any question. And I resisted a Roman road like you wouldn't believe, because I knew that that was wrong. I knew absolutely it was wrong. You say, well, why did God deal with you differently? Maybe you'll understand that when I preach the message I've got to preach. I'm sending it out to Tommy, and Tommy's going to put it on the internet, because this is too late in the game. What I want to tell you, it's not a game, but I want to tell you that the Lord's coming much sooner than most people think, and the scripture is about to be fulfilled of the great earthquake, and it's going to be a whopper. And they're already having earthquakes right now when they're having all this fire out. They didn't expect this stuff in Hawaii. It didn't surprise me. Go back and look at the first things I ever wrote. I wrote about this, and I went in great detail about it. And I told about volcanoes, and I told about how sometimes they would spread out like this, and then they would explode. And I taught about all the things about them, if there are about them. And now they've replaced it with something on there that's just not quite right. But how did I know all that? You'd say, well, you were just a heretic. No, I wasn't a heretic. But this was something that if you had gone through it, you could understand it. But if you didn't go through it, you really don't understand it. He said, and truly the Son of Man goeth as they determined, but warned by the man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves, which of them? Aha! They began to inquire among themselves, who's speaking? The disciples. Which of them that should do this thing? And there was a strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? They had the same problem you had. You say, well, I never had that problem. You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving your own self. Because every one of them said, and they began to inquire among themselves, that who should do this thing? And there was a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. That's what he got onto him more than any other reason. And I came to realize, he taught me, Tom, you needed to understand this. And I understood it. And I knew why he called me then. And there was a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. They had a problem. You say, well, they'd already been saved. I know that. But they had a problem. They still did not realize the importance of the ones who were going to deliver it, not to account themselves as special super duper, but to look upon themselves as people that needed to be taught just as well as the other people. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles. Exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. That's important. And you say, well, when God called me, I just knew right away. Well, good for you. But you had an awful lot to learn after you got called. And I got called when I got saved. But the truth is, I had an awful lot to learn. And if you think you got all this in one dose, you're wrong. You got salvation in one dose, but God had a lot to teach you, and God had a lot to teach me. Now, he said that they exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority over them are called benefactors. They're called benefactors. He said, but ye, he's talking to the church, it's plural. He says, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among them, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that setteth at meat, or he that serveth? is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as that servant. You know, that's something I had to learn. I didn't realize what a rat I was. You say, well, I did. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you just thought that you were special super duper. The only one that's ever been special super duper is Jesus Christ. And I learned that after I got saved, and God had a reason for the reason he worked with me. And it was a frustrating thing, but I knew I was called. I didn't have any problem with that. He says, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, period. All of a sudden, when I got saved, I knew I was saved. You say, well, that shouldn't be so, because it should be the disciples that get all the attention. How about some little old Sunday school teacher back there that kept teaching you the truth? Doesn't she get any recognition? Doesn't she get any attention? Is she somebody that just sits back there? And listen, if you ever had a child and had to go through the agonizing pain that women have to go through, you'd probably understand, well, it's a lot better. He said, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. Or he that serveth. But he said, is not he that sitteth at me, but I'm among you as him that serveth. He says, I'm not that way. He said, I'm not that way. He said, I'm not that way. You say, well, how significant is that? I told one of our members, who's been a member of this church for a long time, he kept telling me one thing, kept telling me over and over and over and over it again. And I sat and I listened to it, and I worked with him. And finally, I just told him what his problem was. His problem was, and is, that, and I answered him in a very simple way. He couldn't understand about the second chance that God gave to, he just couldn't understand it. I don't know if I don't think he still understands it. But the truth is, with this one particular member, finally I just told him, I said, your problem is that you don't understand that Judas Iscariot went to hell. That's your problem. Because Judas Iscariot went to hell. Why did the Lord give Cain a second chance? Why did he give Cain a second chance? You said, that doesn't make any sense. It makes sense to you if you just read what it says. But Cain rose up and slew his brother. He rejected, he rebelled, he fought against Christ. He wouldn't accept anything else except what he already believed. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Do I think I'm going to sit on and judge on the 12 tribes of Israel? Do I think I'm one of the two witnesses? Absolutely not. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. You think those disciples didn't have a whole lot of problems? They had more problems than Carter's got liver pills. That he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He's talking to, you know who he's talking to. He said, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. That's what he said. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Now listen to this. Listen to it. Likewise, said all the disciples. Don't tell me they didn't have problems. They had lots of problems. They were just as saved as I am. And they were called to do something that God wanted them to do, and they thought they had it figured right, that everything was right with them. But it doesn't work that way. Don't worry, I'm not going to change what you believe. I'm not going to change that at all. All I'm going to ask you to do is consider what I'm saying and think about it. Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Notice what Peter said in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 5. Likewise, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Listen, he was precious to me when I went up front and that preacher kept trying to lead me down a Roman road. I'm not blaming that preacher. There's a lot of them that are still doing that today. Ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2b, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Psalm 21, 12 through 17, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. That happened to me in Sunday school class. He said, then will I teach transgressions thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. That's what I'm doing right now. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. That's what I'm doing right now. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. That happened to me in Sunday school class. I was already saved. I didn't need to go down a Roman road. You say, well, why didn't you go down it? Because it was confusing to me. And I didn't understand it because I knew I was called to preach. He said, for thy desire, not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. My heart was broken that day in Sunday school class. I knew I was saved, and yet I knew that there was something that they were teaching that were just not right. He said, and my grandfather believed this. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not sacrifice. Thou wilt not despise. Thou wilt not despise. Romans 12, 1 through 3. 1. What is this business of by the mercies of God? That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, by your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, this happened to me, and it happened to me in Sunday school class. For I say, through the grace that is given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I was just as saved in that Sunday school class as I am right now. But I had a lot to learn. And we all have a lot to learn. He called the disciples up at the north. He didn't call them down there. More highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath taught every man the measure of faith. For as many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. I'm not asking you to change your belief about what you do about being rebaptized when you join this church. I am not trying to change your belief about that. That's what I believe. That's why we baptize people that come to this church. And they want to join this church. They have to be rebaptized if they weren't baptized scripturally. So here's what I believe about scriptural baptism. Whenever God's Son knew before you were born what path you would choose, God chose you based on that. And He called you to do what you do. I believe God called you to preach. If you tell me God called you to preach, I believe you. You say, well, what will change your mind? If you turn out to be a thorn, I won't believe it. Because God is not intending to hurt anyone. But by the same token, if you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you take that path, I believe that path. I believe it. This church won't accept anybody that hasn't been scripturally baptized. And so when they come into this church and they don't have scriptural baptism, we rebaptize them. But I will not. I was saved in a Sunday school class. And I was saved when God called me there to preach. You say, well, how'd you know that? God. You say, well, some doesn't make sense. Well, it may not make sense to you, but it certainly does make sense to me, because that's what happened to me, and that's who you got as a pastor. I'm a God-called preacher, and that's who you've got as a pastor. Now, I can't change the way I believe on this, but I can tell you, if you tell me we ought to rebaptize people when they come to this church, if there's a doubt about their baptism, we need to rebaptize them, period. But by the same token, we need to love one another, to respect one another, to listen to one another, and to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed. I'm not worried about any of you, because I think God chose you to be here tonight. I think He chose you to be here tonight. I think He chose you to hear this. I heard it. You heard it. Now all of you have heard what I believe. But that's the truth. That's what I believe. And so I'm sending these out one by one to Tommy Brown. And when I get finished with this series, if I'm still pastor here, I'm going to tell Tommy, you just tell them the truth straightforward and tell them when they come to you, they need to be rebaptized if they don't have scriptural baptism. So I don't think I said anything that upset you. But I'm telling you exactly what I believe, so you won't have to sit around and wonder about it. Chuck, you want to dismiss us?